This is Brian Jenkins of Chosen 300 Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to join us on the web at www.chosen300.org, where you can learn about volunteer activities and also opportunities for giving. You can give by sending us a gift to Chosen 300 Ministries at P.O. Box 95, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, 19003. We also have an option for online giving right on our website at chosen300.org, and we also encourage you to designate your United Way or community giving gifts at your place of employment to Chosen 300 Ministries. This is a big help to our ongoing expense for our mission projects in Center City, Philadelphia. We want to thank you so much for joining to us today, and may God bless you and you enjoy today's message.
Lord, we thank you and we give you praise, God, for allowing us to come and just serve you and bless you today. We ask you to give us the word that you would have us to do, that we might be effective, God, and learn more about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Luke, the 14th chapter, verse 25, it says, "And there was a great multitude with him. And it says, and he said and turned to them and said, If any man come after me and hate not his father, his mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, and yea, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsake not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And someone say amen. Turn to your neighbor this morning and say, neighbor, there is loyalty required to be his disciple. Just turn to the other neighbor, make sure they got the message this morning and say, neighbor, there is loyalty required to be his disciple. Amen. Amen. There's loyalty required in being his disciple. You know what? I'm amazed. I go to a lot of churches and visit a lot of churches now because of the work that we do is so widespread now. There's 30 churches in our ministry, and we praise God for that. But one of the things that I've learned that not only in their churches, in this church, one word that is not used very often when it identifies the believer is the word disciple. We got a lot of names for the people that come to churches. We call them church members. We don't use that here because I believe that members are just people who want to be on the roll when they really don't show up. We use what is called congregant here. But congregant means basically we just coming together. There's people that congregate everywhere. People congregate at the bar. People congregate at the club. And just means you there. You showing up. So it's a little bit more than church member, but it's really not reaching the level of being a disciple. And when you think about it, the reason why people do not use the word disciple is because of the fact that it requires so much of people. Matter of fact, if I start calling people disciples, you know what this church would be labeled as? Labeled as a cult. They said, oh, they got a cult going on there, Chosen 300, you're calling your people disciples. But the reason why we don't call people disciples is because people are so afraid of the word and so afraid of the commitment that is required in being a disciple. The word disciple itself means to follow after. Follow after. Now, the term disciple is not only used in referring to Jesus, because we know that John the Baptist also had disciples. If you read Matthew, the 11th chapter, it talks about how John the Baptist himself had disciples who, while he was in prison, he sent two of them to send to Jesus to just confirm that he was the Christ. He was the one that was sent, that was spoken of in the Old Testament, and it was confirmed that he had disciples that followed after him, that was committed to the message of teaching repentance to the Jews that they might believe in him who was to come after John the Baptist. So this term disciple is not one that's just talked about as far as following Christ. It's being committed to a cause. But when you're committed to the cause of Christ, you are Christ's disciple. You know, my son David helped me with this last night. I mean, he just brought revelation to me. Last night we got home kind of late, and Jonathan, he had a hamburger in his hand, half asleep, and we took him right to bed. He was out. But David, we tried to take him to his crib, and then we took him to his crib. He did a U-turn and spun around my wife and ran into my bedroom and jumped up in the bed with me because he wanted to be with Daddy and spend a little bit more time with Daddy. But it wasn't so much that he wanted to spend time. I sat back in the bed, and I turned on the television. He sat back in the bed. I pulled up the cover. He pulled up the cover. I put my hands behind my head. He put his hands behind his head. And the idea is that he was simply following following what I was doing. He was looking at the example that I was showing him, and he wanted to do exactly what I was doing. When you are a follower of Christ, you are not concerned with your place that you're in. David's place was his crib, but he wanted to be in the place of his father. And the way that we are to image after the ways of Christ is that everything that he does, we ought to be interested in the ways and will of Christ. Now, Jesus himself, he also believed this in being the way, the will and way of his father. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the cup came, the cup of wrath that was due to us, the wrath of God was in that cup, and he says, if it is possible, let this cup pass. He says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I want to do the will and desire that my Father has sent me to do. So when we come into the following of Christ, we come not to do our own will, not to have our own logic understanding of way of life, but we ought to do the will of him that sent us. Because when you have come to Christ, you have given up your old life and says, now I want to take on the life of Christ. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
Amen. There are four things that we want to talk about today. We want to examine and clarify what it means to have loyalty, or what is the loyalty that we must have in Christ in order to be his disciple. There are four things that we want to talk about. The first one is found in Luke, the 14th chapter, verse 25. Now, I want to use the NIV version because the NIV really brings something out wonderful in this text. Luke, the 14th chapter, verse 25. It says, and large crowds were traveling with him. And large crowds were traveling with him. Now, I talked about David a little bit earlier. David was following after me. My wife did something else. She was excited about the moment. She was excited about the moment of David just following after his daddy. You know, pulling the cover up, putting his hands behind his bed, sitting up. He wanted to be like his daddy. But my wife did something different. She went down to get the camera, because she wanted to take a picture of this moment so she could remember the excitement of him just following after his daddy. She was simply watching. She was not interested in following me. She was not interested in what I was doing. She was simply wanted to see the events that were going on. And during this time in our text, everybody wanted to see what Jesus was doing. Everybody was interested in his miracles. Everybody was interested in his marvelous power that they had never seen before, but they were simply traveling with Jesus. They really did not want to follow him. We know this because last week we talked about the earlier portion of this 14th chapter, and the Bible says that that Jesus was in the home of one of the Pharisees. And the Bible says, and they watched him. They were not interested in following him. They were only interested in watching him. And there's so many of our churches, so many of our congregations are filled with people that are simply traveling with Jesus. They're not really interested in being his disciple. There is a sincere distinction between following Jesus and simply traveling with Jesus. The people that travel with Jesus just want the benefits of Jesus. They want to be healed. They want to be delivered. They want to be set free. They want the emotion. They want to jump, shout, holler. But when they walk out of this door, do they really want to follow or be Christ's disciple? Can someone say amen?
Amen.
The first thing that we must understand, that there is a distinction between traveling with Jesus and following with Jesus. Let's turn to Luke, the 14th chapter, verse 25 to 26. And he turned, this is part B of the text, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and even his own life also, cannot be my disciple. The second thing that is required in order to, the second examination of the loyalty required in order to be a disciple of Christ is that you must make Christ your first priority. Now, a lot of people, when we read this text talking about, you know, we got to hate our father, our mother, our children, our brethren, it seems like a real contradiction of what something that Christ or the Word of God would teach. We know in John, the 4th chapter, verse 20, it says, if any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth his not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he say that he loved God, whom he hath not seen? Ephesians 5 and 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Whitney Houston, chapter 1, verse 1 says, learning to love yourself. Some of y'all just missed that. Learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. We are challenged with this idea of Christ indicating to us that we ought to hate our brother, our father, our mother, and even ourselves in order to be his disciple. The second challenge that we have with this text is not only is he telling us to hate somebody, but he's telling us to hate the people that are closest and dearest to us. Can you imagine Christ telling you to hate your children? Just doesn't seem practical. It does not seem sound. Does it sound right for Christ telling you to hate your wife? Does it sound practical to you for Christ to tell you to hate your father, to hate your mother, your brothers, and your sisters? What is Christ trying to tell us today in order to be his disciple? It sounds like such a hard rule. Let's look at it a little closely. What Christ is saying to us is that the relationship that we have with him is to be closer than any other relationship that we have with anyone else. That means we ought to put him first in everything. I love Shande Jenkins. I love David and Jonathan. But if you put them next to Christ, they really cannot compare of the dedication that I have to him that I have to my wife. Because of the fact that I love Jesus far beyond what I could possibly love them. And the only way that I can effectively love my wife, the only way I can effectively love my children is that I have the love of Christ in me. And to show you the example of how we ought to put our families aside and put Christ first, Jesus did it himself. If you remember, the Bible says that when the disciples came unto Jesus and they said, your mother and your brethren are standing out here. They said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sisters? He says, they that do the will of my Father that sent me. He denied his own family to say that what really matters in the kingdom of God has nothing to do with the relationships I have through blood, but it's the relationships that I have through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and through the will of my Father. Those that do the will of my Father, that is what establishes a relationship with me. And that is the first priority and what is most important to me. So you have to understand that he is not telling you to hate them in the context that you should hate them and despise them. He's telling you simply that you ought to put me first before everybody else. You have to make Christ the first priority. The third example is found in Luke, the 14th chapter, verse 27. And it says, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Keep on knocking, but you can't come in. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Understand that, yes, coming to Christ will set you free. Coming to Christ will set you free from the penalty of sin and death. Coming to Christ will cause you to have an abundant life in him. Coming to Christ simply says that, you know what? The life that I had before, that was full of trouble, that was full of distress, that was full of problems and difficulty, I can now cast all of those burdens upon him. The affairs of this life do not belong to you. The troubles of this life do not belong to you, because he says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. But what all of us are required to bear is to bear a cross. We have our own cross to bear. Matthew 11, chapter, verse 28 to 30. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What Christ is saying is that in exchange for you releasing your burdens or problems or difficulties to me, the affairs of life, I'm taking those for you. But in exchange for that, what I am giving you is the suffering for the cause of Christ. You have to bear the cross of Christ. There is a cross for you to bear if you want to be his disciple. I know it doesn't sound popular. And matter of fact, a lot of you might say, you know what, this disciple thing, I can't do it. But realize you have to understand that you have a cross to bear if you want to be partakers not only of the sufferings of Christ, but the glorification that shall come at the resurrection of the dead at the last day. If you want to be part of the kingdom of God, there is some suffering for the cause of Christ that must occur. The hymnist said it like this: must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. There's a cross for you. There's a cross for you. There's a cross for you. There's a cross with your name on it. Unless you're willing to bear the cross and the suffering for the cause of Christ, you cannot be his disciple. It's a requirement. It's kind of like signing up or enlisting for the military. Yeah, they'll take care. They take good care of you. I was talking to a buddy of mine who's in the military, and they had to move him. And I remember experience moving from one house to the other. I have to pack everything up. I mean, it's just a really drawn-out process of moving. And I was talking to him. I said, aren't you moving tomorrow? He said, yeah. I said, well, what are you doing? He says, man, they send people over. They count my forks. They count my drawers. They put everything in a box. They move it to the next house. They unpack it and put it in place for me. I don't have to do nothing. But in exchange for the release of his burdens, he has to suffer for the cause of the military. When you come to Christ, he releases of you of the burdens of this world. And he says, I'm now releasing unto you the sufferings for the cause of Christ. Are you willing to suffer for the cause of Christ? Are you willing to give up what you have for the purpose of living for God? But what is suffering for the cause of Christ is walking out that door and saying that I proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, no matter who comes in contact with you, no matter what people laugh at you, no matter what people despise you. It says that, you know what, I'm willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. I'm willing to give up everything so that Christ's name can be glorified. What were you willing to give up? This year in October, I have to go to Guyana, South America, and I'm living in, I'll be staying in a third world country for 3 weeks. And I start to think about that and challenge, and I realize God has blessed me with some wonderful things and places to live. But I started to ask them. They told me that lodging and food was included. And I said, well, what is the lodging and what is the food? But I start to think about that thing is that is really suffering for the cause of Christ. And the fact that there's some people in a third world country that sometimes don't even have water to drink. And it's necessary to relinquish what I have for the purpose that I might reach somebody else that may never have been reached for the cause. That's suffering for the cause of Christ. Countries like Jamaica and Zimbabwe that I have to go to, I have realized I have to suffer for the cause of Christ. And God is requiring of you to do the same, to suffer for the cause of Christ. The fourth and final thing. Luke, the 14th chapter, the 33rd verse, it says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsake not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. The fourth examination of being a disciple is you having to give up everything. Now prior to this text, prior to the 33rd verse, if you look from the 27th to the 32nd verse, Christ is really giving a parable or example of how you ought to give up everything. And it's talking about counting the cost. If you're going to be part of the body of Christ, if you're going to be part of the kingdom of God, if you're going to be his disciple, you have to count the cost. Don't come up here and say the sinner's prayer and you're really not willing to give up the cost. I'm going to let you know what the cost is today to be his disciple. But in order to, don't come up here unless you're willing to pay the cost. There's a cost of, yes, it's a wonderful life. I love Christianity. Matter of fact, I couldn't be nothing else. Couldn't be a Buddhist, couldn't be Islam, couldn't be Confucius, couldn't be any of that stuff. I just want to serve Jesus. I love Jesus. And serving Jesus, you know, Luther Vandross said it like this: I'd rather have bad times with you than good times with someone else, by way of Alan Waller. Thank you so much for that analogy. But you have to understand that there are some things that we have to go through, but I'd rather spend them with Jesus than anybody else, because he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I'm his own. But in that 27th through the 32nd verse, it talks about counting the cost. And one of the examples it talks about a man who had built a structure. And he started to build the structure. He laid the foundation. But before he started doing that, he did not count the cost of building that structure. And when he did not complete the structure, he was laughed at because he did not complete it. It talks about another man that went out to war. And he went out to war with 10,000 soldiers. And he did not count the cost of whether or not he can effectively overcome the other enemy with 20,000. But instead of sending out a message of peace that he might reconcile with, that he didn't have to fight the war, you have to understand that a king, if he's going to go out into war, he counts the cost. This morning I want to challenge you that before you say that I want to be a believer, before you give your life to Jesus, I know this is probably not the most motivational message for you to come to Christ today, but I want to let you know today that the motivation is that you give up your life for the purpose of the cause of Christ, knowing that when you give it up, he has set you free from the penalty of sin and death. And this sacrifice of the little life that we have, because the scripture says that life is but a vapor, it's here one moment and gone the next. The life that you give up here is worth an eternal life in the heavens, where it says every day shall be Sunday and Sabbath shall have no end. That means that, yes, we will have worship, we'll have rest every day. It means that the streets are paved with gold, and that the cherubim and the seraphim, they bow down and worship. You have to understand, when you go into glory, everything that you have given up for the cause of Christ is going to be all the more worth it. But I'm telling you now that if you come to Christ, count the cost. Many of you are traveling with Jesus. Many of you are watching Jesus. Many of you are doing, like my wife, snapping pictures of Jesus. But will you be like my son David today? You'd be like my son to David, that you would sit back with Jesus and just look at Jesus. What are you doing next, Jesus? I'm pulling up the covers. What are you doing next? I'm putting my hands behind my head. What are you doing next, Jesus? I'm straightening up in bed. I'm living after you. I'm loving my neighbor. I'm loving those who are my enemies. I'm doing good to those, not only that are of the household, the older faith, but doing good to everyone. God is telling you that if you want to be his disciple, have to follow after him. There's 4 points that we talked about this morning in order to be his disciple, that we have to understand that there's a distinction between traveling with Jesus and following Jesus. Our second thing is that we have to make Christ our first priority. The third thing is that we have to bear our own cross. And the fourth examination is that we have to give up everything for the cause of Christ. Are you willing to count the cost?
There is a sweet anointing in this sanctuary. There is a stillness in the atmosphere. Come and lay down the burdens you have carried, for in this sanctuary, God is here. He is here. He is here to break the yoke and lift the heavy burdens. He is here. God is here to break the yokes and lift the heavy burdens. Come and lay down the burdens you have carried, for in the sanctuary, God is here.
Well, praise the Lord. We hope you enjoyed today's mission message for today. We encourage you once again to sow a seed of faith into this ministry. We are the ministry that is uniting the body of Christ to reach the world, to help the homeless and less fortunate. We also encourage you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for our Sunday morning worship and breakfast. And again, any volunteer opportunity, they're located on the website at chosen300.org, where you can participate in helping the homeless and less fortunate. May God bless you and may heaven smile upon you.